The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to a third 1. To each according to his ability. And then he went away. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 talents made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's treasure. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. But the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing an additional 5. And he said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who received 2 talents came forward, and he said to him, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. And to him the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you are faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come and share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant, gathering where you did not scatter. So I went out and out of fear, I buried your talent in the ground, and here it is back to you." And his master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I was a strong man, and I had harvest where I didn't plant, gather where I did not scatter. Should you not have put my money in the bank so that I could have it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. To everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. You can tell in this gospel that poor guy who got 1 talent really got in deep, deep trouble. But let me look at this gospel. By way of a preamble, way back when I was 20 years old, I first read a book by Morris West. And you have all read his books. Since then, he has written 30 books. Many of them very familiar to us: Lazarus, The Clowns of God, Devil's Advocate, Shoes of the Fisherman, all his great books that many of you have read. And of all the 30 books that he wrote, the last one was the one that I remember the most. Since all his books up to that time, they were all novels, but his last book, A View from the Ridge, was a testimony about his own life. And he maintained that he wrote this shortly before he died. And when he died, he was my age. He was 83 years old. He died in 1999. What's powerful about this book is that he maintained that he could understand life, he could interpret the meaning of life in a manner which could not happen early in his life when he got to the last part of his life. He could stand on the ridge and look back and understand life in a different way. And I found that in my own life, that now I stand on a ridge and I look back and I begin to understand the Word of God and the presence of and the power of Jesus Christ in my life in a totally different way than I might have 20 or 30 years ago. Now, when I was looking at this gospel, there's something very severe and difficult and challenging about this gospel. And I went around and I read commentaries and I looked at all the things. I still didn't quite understand the message of this gospel. I even went so far as to call my good friend, the biblical professor Patrick Mullen. When I'm in crisis, I call Patrick and say, Pat, please speak to me about this. So I grew in knowledge, in exegesis, in understanding this text of today's gospel. It has a parallel in Luke's gospel. It's somewhat different, but the message is likewise. So I understood the exegesis of this, but I still wondered about it. And I remember Julianne Stan saying, the arrow pointed at the head does not penetrate the heart. So I said to myself, where's the heart here? I mean, I have the mind. I have an understanding of the exegesis. But where is the presence of God? Where's the heart in here? And that led me to begin to search in a whole different way. To understand talents in terms of God's presence and God's care for us. See, only when you have grasped and experienced the infinite love of God, the unconditional, without reservation, welcoming love of Jesus Christ, until you grasp that, you will go back to keeping laws and to meriting the kingdom of God. I'm going to keep the laws. This is all what we call eschatology. And you'll find it the last Sunday, this Sunday, we're at the end of the year, liturgical year. Eschatos in Greek means the last. It's the last things. And this gospel reading deals with the last things. It's eschatology, a branch of theology dealing with the ultimate disposition of everything. So I'm wondering, what does this mean to me now? In the beginning of Mark's gospel, in chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is now, not in the future. The kingdom of God is among you, with you, and in you right now. We are now experiencing the kingdom of God. Not when we die, but we are now experiencing the kingdom of God. The beginning of Mark's gospel said, sense and catch the redeeming, infinite love of God in the present moment. So how do I translate this metaphor of talents, or in Luke's gospel, it's cities? How do I translate this into a language that fits us today? Ronald Rollheiser, in his book, The Holy Longing, speaks about the soul. And he speaks about a healthy soul. A healthy soul is one who, a soul that's forgiving, understanding, patient. A healthy soul is generous, welcoming. A healthy soul does not make judgments, does not dismiss people. A healthy soul is inclusive. It's warm. It's a belonging. It's a soul that belongs to community. That's a healthy soul, says Rollheiser. A damaged soul is divided. Violence, judgment, exclusion of people, to win at any cost, to overcome, to have the last word, to be triumphant. Sign, says Olhauser, of a damaged soul. And the damaged soul hoards things. The damaged soul is not generous. The damaged soul keeps what actually belongs to someone else in the kingdom of God. When you have more than enough, you're holding something that belongs to somebody else. And that's a damaged soul. It's violent, it's conflicted, it's hard, it creates chaos, it divides people, it excludes people, makes judgments about people. Rolhauser said, this is a damaged soul. The healthy soul, it's easy to identify. So how do you translate this metaphor into a language which we understand today? When I'm exercising a healthy soul, energized by the power of Jesus Christ, then somehow I am preparing myself for the kingdom of God. I'm not earning it. I am convinced that we are saved by love, not by keeping laws. When we're reduced to keeping laws, we haven't really grasped the redeeming, unconditional, infinite love of Jesus Christ. Now, David Brooks, I think I've used this metaphor before. David Brooks, in his marvelous book, you know, The Road to Character, he speaks about two kinds of virtues in life. He said we have resume virtues. Here are my talents. Here are my abilities. Here's my experience of success. I will convince you how important I am, how talented I am, why you should befriend me, why you should hire me, why you should walk with me, because I am powerful and I am effective and all of these things. These are called resume virtues. He said they're important, but not very important. What's very important, he says, are eulogy virtues. Were you kind? Were you forgiving? Were you generous? Did you bless people or burden people? Did you bind people together or divide people? These are called eulogy virtues, and they are the only ones that endure. When you invest your talents, they create new life. And when you come to viewing it from the ridge, like I am, these are the only things that count. Your fame, your fortune, it all passes. It's all passing. Someday it all go away, but what will remain are the talents which we have invested. We invested through kindness, through caring, through inclusiveness. That's the meaning of life. It's the only meaning of life. And that's what this reading means. It means that we have these talents, the opportunities. We have the power inside of us to forgive. We have the power to heal. We have the power to bless people, to encourage people. We have the power to include people. These are the talents. You multiply these talents in the lives of others, then the Master says, good and faithful servant, come and enter the kingdom of God because you expressed in love the gifts that I have given to you. So I want to take this metaphor and put it into our lives today. We're coming up to a season of celebration of family and friends. Where is it that I need to use the talent given to me to forgive?
Where shall I exercise the talent to include somebody who feels left out? To listen to somebody who is lonely? It's the meaning of life. It's the meaning of life here and the meaning of life hereafter. So there's a powerful teaching in this metaphor about talents, opportunities, moments of grace. These moments that give meaning to our lives and meaning to our relationships. Now, I'll be gone next Sunday. I'm going to Ireland for 10 days. I'll be back a week from next Sunday, but I'll be gone. But preparing for next Sunday's gospel, consider this. Get on your computer and look up the Sistine Chapel. And take a look at Michelangelo. Did the Sistine Chapel in 1510, somewhere in there. His incredible imaging of the final judgment. It's on the Reredos. You'll find it if you Google off the Michelangelo's Last Judgment. And there you will find the teaching which appears in today's gospel and will appear graphically in next Sunday's gospel. And this is, the image that he has is the final judgment in time. And on the right are those who are saved, dextra. On the left, sinistra, those who are lost. And left field, you're a goat in the left field, you're a sheep in the right field, you're on the right field, you're in left field. All these images come out of this reflection. And when you see this imaging, you'll notice that the people who are saved are all looking up and they're looking out and they're in light. Those who are lost are looking inward and they're looking down and they're in darkness. One is celebrating their talents, the healthy soul. The other one, the damaged soul, looking inward, selfishly, looking down, and sad, broken, dark. It's not about the end of time. It's about the way we live our lives in the present moment. The kingdom of God is now. And the fulfillment is to be experienced in the present moment. In eschatology, eschatos, logos, the study of the last things, there is a variation in there in this theology called realized eschatology. It's complicated. But it means that we are now living eternity. When we die, it's transmutation. We are now living eternity. We're now using the talents given to us. So where do I stand here? Look at Michelangelo. Am I looking up, looking out, generous, excited? Am I singing? Am I in darkness, selfish, inward looking, worried about myself? Self-interest, sympathy for myself. I mean, where? Where do we stand? The meaning of the gospel. That's the metaphor of today's gospel. How do we live the kingdom of God in the present moment? It's a teaching for you. It's a teaching for me as I view from the ridge. Amen.